Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
If you have your Bibles, I want to go to Joshua 24, verse 14. Says, so fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family or my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will continue to serve the Lord. That is what was said very clearly in Joshua and in his family and what he said. This is what we're doing. You choose what you want. And I read this, and every time I do, I think, you know, isn't it great that God gave us a choice? The sad part is when you choose to say, I want to accept Jesus, I want to follow God and what He made available for my life, and then live like you didn't choose Him. Today, I want to do life His way. I want to do life His way. I'm telling you, the ups and downs, the world we live in, I know that there are other ways, but as far as Christian Ministries Church families, we choose to serve God. That's our choice. Now, does that mean nothing bad will ever happen? No, that's not what that means. And I'm not sitting here proclaiming that it will. What I'm proclaiming is that regardless of what happens, we serve a God who we chose to serve. Therefore, we will stand on and receive His promise. Now, it's hard for us to understand the principles under which God has sometimes asked us to live by because we're Americans. I mean, really, it's because we're Westerners. It's just difficult for us to grasp this based on the way that we've been brought up to think in this world. Now, understand that I know that there are some families that never, ever have operated under anything that the world gave as direction. But it's difficult to live and breathe and operate and just go to Walmart and still operate the way God said, here's how you operate. I understand it's difficult. But I will say today, and this should have been a part of my message, it was, but I'm talking about the recorded message, is what Rob said. You got to choose your heart. We didn't get together and talk about this. I'm just telling you, that's just how the Holy Spirit operates. As Westerners, we are oftentimes resistant to the will of God in our lives because we're in a world that's resistant to the way that God operates. And it should be our decision on the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. And if it's not given or done by a vote sometimes or by the people, we just have a hard time listening. The world is just continually making things right that are not right. They're trying to say that it's okay to do this, and the Bible says, point blank, it's not. And so how does the world operate? I don't have to teach a lot on that. What we've got to do is we've got to be in the Word so we know how the kingdom of God operates. Because the kingdom of God will give you an ability to operate in a world that's operating wrong on so many counts. And you've got to choose today who you will serve. And it wasn't any different in Joshua's day than it is right now. You're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to make a choice. James 4:17 says it's a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So if you don't want to know what to do, then just shut yourself off from me today. Because there may be some of you going, I don't really want to learn anything because if I do, then I'll be in sin. Unless you learn it and then you apply it and then you're not in sin. Here's the problem. A lot of people know what they ought to be doing and they're not doing it. And all of us have been there. All of us have been there, maybe on a smaller level in your own mind, but I don't know. Has anybody ever just kind of felt a prompting or an urging from the Holy Spirit to pray for somebody? And you're like, okay, I prayed. And God says, no, I mean, go up to them and tell them you need to pray for them right now. And you're, well, I just did, God. No, you go up to them. I don't know if anybody else said, I've been there. And I'll be the first to tell you that I knew what I ought to do. And there are times that I didn't. Pastor, are you serious? Yep. And I just am guessing that some of you have been right there. God told you to go pray, and then you didn't do it. And you're like, ugh. It's a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. And so what do? When you deal with the sin issue? You repent, and you turn, and then prayerfully the next time God says that, then go pray for them. I've been there on the same day. I didn't, and then he said, okay, here's somebody else I want you to pray. I've already repented of the one, so I'm going to turn and I'm going to go pray for him. I think we all deal with that. God designed the way that his kingdom operates to be the way that we should be operating also in the natural, but sin. And when sin came in, it kind of messed things up. I want to speak out of 1 Samuel today. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. God designed for our natural world to operate free. God designed for our natural world to operate free, to give you a choice on who to serve. Now, I like that here in the United States because on August 2nd, we've got primaries coming up, and if you're not registered to vote, you need to be, because you need to understand that God designed our natural world to operate free, and that gives you the freedom to choose who needs to be in office. It's just an important thing that we operate here with. And I understand that a lot of people may go, well, I don't really care. Well, you need to. Yeah. When studying man's history, it's important to know that when freedom of choice is taken away, it's not God's plan. He designed the world to operate with freedom of choice. Now, it's foolish to spend your life trying to do something that has never, ever, not one day ever worked. It's foolish. But I see it happening all the time. People just doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, and it's never, ever, not one day work. Just don't do what has never worked, and you won't make that mistake. Unless you choose another thing that's never, ever worked. Well, I'm not going to do this because that's never worked. So you go over here and do this, and that ain't ever worked either. You just didn't know it. Well, I'm not going to do that, so I'll go over here and do this. That ain't ever worked either. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. And we have people jumping around, continually making decisions how we're going to operate by not doing what never worked, and they never get the principle of God has a plan and a purpose, and his way works. So if we just get to a place where we quit doing it because it didn't work and we do it because it does work, we live different. The Old Testament, God wanted people to be governed and directed his way. That's what God wanted. Samuel had been leading and guiding them in their freedom, and it was working. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4, says, finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. Look, they told him, you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they've continually abandoned me and followed other gods. And now they're giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. So Samuel passed on the Lord's warning to the people who were asking him for a king. This is how a king will reign over you, Samuel said. The king will draft your sons and assign them to his chariots and his charioteers, making them run before his chariots. Some will be generals and captains in his army. Some will be forced to plow in his fields and harvest his crops. And some will make his weapons and chariot equipment. The king will take your daughters from you and force them to cook and bake and make perfumes for him. He will take away the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his own officials. He will take a tenth of your grain and your grape harvest and distribute it among his officers and attendants. He will take your male and female slaves and demand the finest of your cattle and donkeys for his own use. He will demand a tenth of your flocks and you'll be his slaves. When that day comes, you'll beg for relief from this king you are demanding, but then the Lord will not help you. But the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king, they said. I have one word for those people. Ignorant. That's ridiculous. I mean, you just kind of think that through and you go, are you serious? He just told you everything that's going to happen. And then he says, and you're going to beg to get this out and the God's not going to hear you. Even still, this is what we want. And we read this like there's no way we would do that. God gave him a king. Samuel in chapter 10 told Saul all through scripture there in chapter 10 that Saul would be king. And in fact, in chapter 10, verse 8, it says, go down to Gilgal ahead of me, and I'll join you there to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. And Samuel was telling Saul, you must wait for 7 days until I arrive and give you further instructions. Now, let me just say, Saul was a man's man. He's kind of like me. He's good looking. My wife has told me that. He was head and shoulders above the rest, and I'm good as long as I'm standing by my grandson Lane, head and shoulders above. When I'm next to Chapman, I feel not. I don't stand next to Chapman. Chapman comes and stands next to me. I'm like, move over. See, head and shoulders above the. He was a man. He was a people's king. He had wealth and he had influence. And everybody's like, Saul. Man, he got it going on. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now, you got to keep in mind that Samuel had said, here's what you need to do. I'm going to join you there. I'm going to join you there, and we're going to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings, but you got to wait 7 days until I get there. 1 Samuel 13, rest of the story here, verse 8. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel. As Samuel had instructed him earlier, but Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away. So he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrives. Saul went out to meet and welcome him. Now Samuel said, what's this you've done? Saul replied, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines are at Michmash. They're ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offerings myself before you came. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You've not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's commands. Well, that's a horrible position. Just in chapter 10, he's now the king. And then in 13, Samuel comes up and says, I know I told you you're going to be the king, but now you didn't do what God's man told you to do. The word of the Lord coming through Samuel said, here's what God said. And Saul just decided to do it his own way. Taking matters into your own hands will get you in trouble. God said one way. Saul said, oh, it'll be okay. We're kind of doing it. And just one time of taking it in his, come on, just one time of taking it in his own hands, all of a sudden removed him from what could have been, what should have been, and what would have been had he not decided, I'm going to do it my own way. John 18, verse 33. Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. Are you the king of the Jews? He asked him, and Jesus replied, is this your own question? And did others tell you about me? I'm a Jew, Pilate retorted. Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom, being of this world, would operate different. Church, you need to hear what's being said here. My kingdom, Jesus was saying, my kingdom, and we're Jesus followers here. My kingdom, if it was of this world, would operate different. But it's not of the world. My kingdom don't operate like this. My kingdom don't operate. But see, it's not of this world. We're not of this world. We're in it, but we're operating in the natural based on another kingdom principle. Now, God intended us for us to live different. He intended us to live different. We're attempting to live as Christian people without submitting to his authority. We have to get to a place where we submit to his way. I just want to do life his way. Come on, you got to get this message. I'm going to say it 100 times. It's doing life his way that brings his promises into light, that brings his way of doing it, and it overrules the things that we're living in the natural. We're attempting to live as Christian people without submitting to his kingdom. We've got to get there. We tend to question everything about God and why this happened and why that happened. And God, if you could just tell me why. You already operating under the world's principle. Because my principles, Jesus said, are different. The way my kingdom operates are different. And when you keep saying why, then you need to get in the Word and realize that I have given you everything you need. Now, when we submit to God and his authority and we receive his authority and implement it into our own lives in the name of Jesus, I love that song we sang this morning. I speak Jesus over everything. Over everything. Why? Because I don't know all the outcomes, but I have faith to believe that Jesus does and that he's working for my good. See, if you live like that, you know God's will, you stand on it and you're submitted to him and his promises and his will, and we're going to stand on that, and we act sometimes like he has things unanswered. God never looks down and goes, oh no, what am I going to do now? That's not ever. Wouldn't that be horrible if our king looked and said, it's up to you guys, I have no idea. That's not the way he sees it. God has a master plan, and we act like things were left unanswered. You know, here's the hard part, because we as Americans, we submit to our leaders as long as we agree with them. And as soon as we don't agree with them, what do? We vote them out. I've watched this in the church world for years. You get a pastor that starts getting radical in some way, even if it's according to Scripture or on one area that God's leading him in, and a bunch of the church doesn't agree with it, and they get together and they vote him out. I watched that growing up for years and years. I've watched it with a lot of pastor friends of mine. I'm just, really, what is going on here? As soon as somebody doesn't agree with something, we as Westerners just say, hey, no big deal. Let's launch a campaign and get them out. That's what we do. And in our government realm, I believe that is correct. Here's the problem. If we're not careful, we do it in every area of life, including the kingdom of God, and that's not the way the kingdom of God operates. In church, as soon as we don't agree with the spoken word, and how things are being handled, we're going to look elsewhere and we're going to start talking behind their backs. Is that the way the kingdom of God operates? Now, let me just say, I'm talking about this right now because this is not what has happened. I like to be on the front end of things. When you're on the hind end, you look like the hind end. I like to be on the front end. And if we can be on the front end of things, what you can know is the kingdom of God operates different. And we move the mentality of the world into the way we view kingdom principles, and it was never intended to work like that. The way the world operates and the way the kingdom operates are different. We live as Christians in a world that has standards that sometimes line up with the word and sometimes they don't. But we need to be in a place where we're doing life His way, and you can't do it His way if you don't know what His way is. I remember growing up and saying, Mom, so-and-so gets to do it. Everyone else is going. I should be able to. Come on, Mom, everybody else. I can tell you at 12 years old, if they had had cell phones back then, I'd have been like, Mom, everybody, all my friends have one. All my, come on, I know I'm stepping in an area that you guys are dealing with as parents right now. Or if you're not, you will be. Come on, Mom. Everybody else, everybody else, everybody else. What I'm telling you is that argument is an argument that you will fight your whole life. Well, that's just not fair. That's just not fair. That's just not fair, which basically means you're not getting what you think you deserve. And here's what I always told my kids, and they would vouch for this. We're not even going to talk about what you deserve. We're not even going to talk about that. Because right now you're in sin, and you know what sin deserves? You're coming against your leadership with an American Western mentality, and I'm going to vote Mom and Dad out. The problem is Mom and Dad hold all the money. But we start this at an early age, and here's what happens. Parents, you give into that 12-year-old. You give into, come on, Mom, it's not fair. Oh, you're right, honey, it's not fair, so I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this. And you start giving them things that they think they deserve based on the wrong kingdom principle. Yeah. See, it's the kingdom principle of the world, and you're not following the word. And well, the Bible says nothing about a cell phone. I don't see what's wrong with it. The Bible says a lot about guarding your eyes. See, does a 12-year-old have the ability to guard, to keep, to maintain? I'm doing a parenting series in September. Y'all ought to sign up for it. It's going to be really good. I don't have time to get into this. So many are looking to change God's law by popular vote. Are you hearing me? By whatever's popular, that's what we should do. There are denominations out there that have, they think they've done exactly that. See, popular vote doesn't change His plan. Not even kind of. Job 36, verse 11, if they listen and obey God, they'll be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. But if they refuse to listen to Him, they'll cross over the river of death, dying from a lack of understanding. I am sick and tired of God's people dying from a lack of understanding when God gave understanding. It's in the Word. We just got to study it and live by it. And praise God, you're in church this morning getting equipped to go out and do the work of the ministry. That's what you're here for, continually getting more and more understanding. I don't want God's people dying from a lack of understanding in any area. All throughout the Bible, there are protection, promises, provisions, and blessings, just all going along with submitting to His authority. I'm going to submit to Him and what He said to do. And then there's dangers and warnings for disobedience. The church has lost an understanding of the consequence of sin. The only thing that we live with the consequence knowing is if I'm doing something bad enough and I get caught, God is omnipresent. He's all the omnis. Which means as soon as you run away from Him, you're running into Him. You just need to always know that you're not going to get one by on God. He knows what's going on. And He knows that you're going to try. And at some point, you just got to accept what Jesus did and say, okay, I surrender. I surrender. Hands up. not because he's holding a gun at you, but because you say, I surrender to what you made available and I want what you got. And I want your promises. I want your provisions. I want to learn more about you. The more you start learning more about him, the more you start welcoming running into him. You welcome him being in every position in your life. When I say the word sin, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Now don't shout it out. Just what's the first, when I say sin, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? More than likely, here's what just happened. In your mind, you went to the last thing that you probably asked forgiveness for. Or you went to what your spouse's last thing they did to you. Or maybe if you're a parent, you went to the last thing that your kids just did. Now, whatever it is, sexual misconduct, maybe it's indulging in something you shouldn't have been indulging in, whatever that is. Maybe it's lying, maybe it's strife, maybe it's anxiety that you're allowing yourself to. Whatever you dealt with last, let me just tell you, in Genesis, Adam and Eve sinned. They messed up. Now, what I want you to know that sin is, and you need to know this. This is what sin is. It's not submitting to his authority. It's not submitting to Christ. And not doing what he asked of you. God said not to eat of the fruit. Period. He didn't say unless you get really hungry. Yeah. Or unless, Adam, your wife says it's okay. Yeah. See, don't do this. God said don't eat, period. The fruit wasn't sin. It was the decision to do it different than God's authority said to do it. And here's what happens. If we don't have any knowledge of the way God said it, we think we're exempt. Just because you don't know, let me just tell you, in the rule or the law that we call it that we have here, I don't know if you've ever been pulled over and you said, I didn't know that that was the speed limit. How'd that work for you? We start questioning God and we deny his way and we do it our own way. And sometimes it's just because we don't know what his way is. We just were doing it like this because we didn't know we weren't supposed to. And we just thought, or sometimes we know we're not supposed to, but I enjoyed it so much. I tell young people all the time, don't you think for a second that sin's not fun. Probably one of the funnest things you'll ever be a part of. But you need to understand the consequence of it. Well, that's not going to be very fun. It's going to be the greatest thing you've ever done in your whole life. It's going to be fun. It's right after that. That is horrible. If we're going to live under his provisions, we got to do it his way. We got to do it his way. We got to do life his way. We're wanting to be blessed with God's provisions and blessings, and we're not submitting to doing it his way. We want to do it our own way. You're not going to eat of the provisions of God when you're doing things under your own will and your own authority. You got to get to a place where you get upset about doing it your way. Because your way don't work. Well, yeah, I did. It's worked so far. We as parents will tell our children, if you'd have just listened. How many of you done that? If you'd have just listened to me. If you'd have just listened, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in. If you'd have just listened. If you just have done it the way. And sometimes you're like, no, I'm going to force you to do it my way because you're doing things the wrong way. And you force them to do it their way, your way. And then sometimes you let, I don't know if you've ever done this, let your kids fall. Unless they're pulling a 100-pound television over on them and they're 20 pounds. I mean, there are times that you're like, okay, we can't let them walk next to that cliff. But that little step right there and the soft grass on the other side, they'll learn. Come on, Dad, you ever said that? They'll learn. What you're saying is go ahead and mess this whole thing up. Mess this whole thing up. I know that there's a point and a stage in your immaturity that you have to learn by mistakes. But prayerfully, you get to a place where you can learn from other people's mistakes. And then you get to a place to realize, I don't have to make that mistake because the Word of God was real clear. And if you don't get to a place where you understand that as a child, it's really hard as you get to be an adult. Because the Word of God comes through your mom and dad. And when mom and dad say it, you ought to perk up and go, Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And you start living in a way that when mom and dad say it, I do it because mom and dad said it. And when mom and dad said it, they know they've lived longer. They're old. I mean, come on, they're old. They've already been there. But we learn to be disobedient as a child because a parent doesn't make that correction. How are you forcing God to deal with you? Come on, we all forced our parents to deal with us in certain ways. Parents, force your kids to submit to your will at an early age. Not the third time, the first time you say it. Not the fifth time, okay, I need you to stop. And they don't stop. There needs to be a turning. And there needs to be a repenting. And sometimes it's a forced repent. Sometimes it's a forced turn. But it's the first time every time. Why? Because God wants us to get it the first time every time. And we've got to get to a place in life where we're just doing life His way. God wants to bless you. He wants to funnel His blessings onto you. And how bad does it have to get before He grabs your attention? Come on, the consequences are no fun. Let's just do it God's way. Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear God, keep His commandments, for that's everyone's duty. Well, Pastor, God understands. I mean, everyone else is doing it, and it's my life, and you already said I can do it however I want. God said no, and that should be it. But we're just trying to bargain. Or wait, get in a group that has enough votes that says we don't have to do it that way. Church, Christianity is submitting to God's will, plan, and purpose for your life as Christ did to His Father. And He went to the cross for us. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. It says, now your kingdom must end. This is Samuel talking to Saul. Now your kingdom must end. Your kingdom must end. Now we're going to read this and understand that his kingdom ended because he did the wrong thing. And he needed to submit to God's kingdom and he wouldn't do it. And God said, your kingdom's done. You're done. You're done. Your kingdom ends today. Here's what I would, before I even get into these 3 points, here's what I want to charge you with. I want to encourage you with today. Make the choice for your kingdom to end before God forces your kingdom to end. Wow. Yeah. Think about that. Make a choice right now to die to the world or your own kingdom and submit to God's kingdom. Yeah. It's just easier that way, is it? It may be really hard, but choose your hard. Decide what you're going to do. Here's the first point. You got to submit to your, you need to submit to God's will, not your will. You need to submit to God's will. Now, we've already said that. But Samuel, the man of God, did not want to do what he said he was going to do. He wanted something bigger. He wanted something better. And then Saul said, no. I'm just going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. Samuel, I know you heard from God, but I'm going to do it my way. I hear this in the music industry, and I used to hear it a lot. One of their, years ago, I mean, everybody does this song. I've got some friends that just can knock this song out of the water. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. And I thought about singing it today, but I don't want to bring glory to this song. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he was not. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and I did it my way. Next time you hear that song, go, Father, thank you that I chose not to do it my way, that I did it your way. I'll be there in just 7 days, Samuel said. And Samuel wasn't there at the exact time Saul thought he was supposed to be. And somehow there was a misunderstanding. The scripture's not clear on whose fault this was. The point is, Samuel didn't make it at the time Saul thought he would. And everything turned really bad for Saul, not Samuel. Well, Samuel didn't show up on time. Saul's the one. See, you will have failed spiritual leaders in your life when you submit to your own will above your spiritual leader's life. Samuel was Saul's spiritual leader. Verse 14, Saul lost everything because Samuel didn't show up. You're going to have pastors, you're going to have teachers, you're going to have youth pastors, you're going to have people in your life that you're going to see disappointment. You're going to go, man, they just totally messed up. And there's no excuse for the way they messed up. I don't know what Samuel's excuse was, but there's no excuse for being late. That's how I think. Let me just tell you what there's no excuse about. There's no excuse for you to go out and do something foolish just because someone else. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You haven't kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You acted foolish. You didn't have a perfect situation in how you were raised. I understand that. Listen, at some point, you have to realize that not everyone in your life who is an authority figure does it perfect. But that doesn't give you an excuse. A teacher, a parent, a pastor, your parents messed up. And that gives you the excuse to be where you're at today. Come on, you got to hear this sermon. That's still making a choice to do it your way, not God's way. Don't do something foolish. Samuel said he'd be there. But Samuel didn't do what he said in Saul's eyes. And Saul ends up losing God's blessings because of what someone else did. I have watched people quit, be frustrated in ministry because a leader showed up late. And they missed all that God could have done because they blamed it on the leader. I don't even know what Samuel's excuse was. I just know he showed up different than what Saul thought he should have. Or at least that was his excuse. It was not Samuel's fault for Saul's disobedience. Are you hearing that today? His disobedience is what got him. Parents, quit running to school and trying to fix every wrong that's been done to your child. Teach your child how to respond to wrong that's done in their life. You'll have countless wrongs done to you in your life, and your little sweetie precious will too. You need to know how to handle that. And you need to teach your child how to handle wrongs that are done. People wrong you because people are people. And you might have caught them right when they didn't pray for the person that God told them to. And they're in the middle of repenting and trying to turn themselves. They got it right 5 minutes later, but you were the result of the leader who didn't hear from. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Chapter 15. And my second point, don't always have a better idea. Don't always have a better idea. Chapter 15. This is hard for you talkers out there. This is hard for me. Chapter 15. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies has declared. I've decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, donkeys, and iPhones. Any way that they could communicate. Anything they could do. Get rid of all of it. Michelle and I toured Israel several years ago, and our guide in Israel said that the Amalekites were meaner and more vicious than any wild animal you could ever take on. Their kids were ready to kill and taught to kill. They had child sacrifices. They were doing things worse than any animal could even conjure up. I mean, they were the meanest of mean. Verse 4. So Saul mobilized his army at Telaim. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. Then Saul and his army went to a town of the Amalekites, and they lay in wait in the valley. Saul sent this warning to the Kenites: move away from where the Amalekites live, or you will die with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt. So the Kenites packed up and left. Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. Back to verse 3. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. Verse 9, Saul and his men spared the sheep, the goats, the cattle, the fat calves. Verse 3. Completely destroy the cattle, the sheep, the goats. Do you see something that's totally opposite here? Saul slaughtered everything except for not everything. I mean, we seem to continue to always have a better idea in this country than what God has asked us to do. We've got a better idea. As a nation, we always have a better idea. How to define marriage, how to define pay scale. Jesus in Luke said the employer and the employee decide the wages, but we had a better idea. I got a better idea. I care less what Scripture says. We always have a better idea. Come on, Saul is no different than the way our country operates. God said to do it this way, except for we're not going to do it that way. Let's have Washington tell us what the pay scale is. Let's forget the employee and the employers. Why? Because we're not following the Bible. Because this is the way the kingdom operates here on earth. Saul's putting himself in a position where God's going to say, your kingdom is gone. And he did. Come on, do we want the United States of America to put ourselves in a position where God says, your kingdom here was following my plans, now you're out. I'm continually amazed at what we're doing because we're just not doing life his way. We, for years, let anyone decide who they wanted to let live and who they wanted to abort. For years, that's what we've done. We just had a better idea. Praise God, we got some people in there that had a better idea. Let me say it like this. Praise God, we got some people in there who had a God idea. It wasn't their idea. It was God's idea, and they just decided to submit to it. Praise God. We got a whole bunch of those that need to happen now. We decide who we're going to tax. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. Let's put a death tax on. Let's do this. It's real clear how we always have a better idea. Matthew 25 says who to tax, who to give tax breaks to. But we got a better idea. I'm not really going to follow. I can go on and on, but we're not reading. We don't know the word, so we don't even know how to vote. Pastors of churches even have better ideas. Pastors can have a better eye than God has? No. They don't have a better idea. They just think they do. You never have a better idea than God. You just think you do. And then you're submitted to the wrong kingdom. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king. For he's not been loyal to me. He's refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. Verse 11, I'm so sorry I ever made Saul king. I'm not sure anybody ever wants to hear God say that. I'm so sorry that I ever put you as dad of these kids. I'm so sorry that I ever let you marry this joker. I'm so sorry. Come on, we don't ever have to hear that because we accepted Jesus, we got forgiveness for our mess ups, and now we live in a grace dispensation. However, that doesn't mean you keep doing it your way. You do it God's way. I don't want to hear, I'm so sorry, Pastor, I ever made you or put you in the position I put you in. I'm so sorry. Well, God would never say that. He said it's Saul. Verse 12, early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him, Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Oh, go figure. There we go. We go build a statue of myself or a monument. And so he went on to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you, he said. I've carried out the Lord's command. Then what's all the bleeding of sheep and goats and lowing of cattle I hear? Samuel demanded. God bless you. I'm just doing what God asked. What is that that I hear? What's that that I heard about you last night? Come on. You got to be careful to do exactly what God said to do. You don't just kind of turn it to do a little bit your way. I've got so many examples here of young people. Mom, Dad, I did all the laundry. I told you to do laundry and put it up. I made my bed. I cleaned my room. And you open the closet and everybody... I know that we can apply this principle. I did a little bit of what you said. Isn't that enough? Verse 15. It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, the goats, and the cattle. Saul admitted, but they're going to sacrifice them to God. Did you hear what he said there? We're going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We're going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. Let me just tell you, anytime you're doing something for the benefit of God, for someone else to bring reward for you, you already couldn't. Ooh, that's a dangerous position. We destroyed everything else. I mean, Saul said we got everything, but when we were the stuff we didn't, we were going to sacrifice. You know, Samuel could have said, I didn't ask about the army. I didn't ask about your mom. I didn't ask about your boss. Saul says someone else did it. I was going to do something spiritual with it. It was the men. Verse 16, Samuel said to Saul, stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. What did he tell you, Saul asked. And Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel. Listen, Saul, this is what God told me. God told me to tell you what to do. Why'd you mess this up? Verse 18, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they're all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why'd you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the goats, the sheep, the cattle, and plunder to the sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. You know, there are people who will not repent because it's always somebody else's fault. They're not going to repent because they got every reason to do what people blaming everyone else for what they didn't get done. Blaming everybody else. Parents blaming everyone else for why their child is acting the way they are. My child didn't get picked. And you're going to blame the ones that were doing the picking? At what point do you spend some time with your child and get them to a place where they are picked? Yeah. Or I just don't understand how we've got into this mentality here in our culture. To blame everybody else. People are blaming everyone else as to why they have no money. It's everybody else's fault. Saul said, well, I've done at least this. And he gave a list of all that he did do, trying to say that he was obedient in what he was asked to do. Verse 22, Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice or your obedience to his voice? What he's saying is, obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I've sinned, I've disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. How far are you going to go with all of this before you're proven that you're wrong and you're going to have to admit it? That's the Samuel saying, listen, you're going to have to admit this. Now, you got to quit making an excuse for everything. I could have titled this, quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. Or I tried to be a little nicer. Just do life his way. Just do life his way. It's way better. The outcome's way better. I'm telling you, having kids in a position that you planned for them to be in one day is planning to do it God's way. Having your marriage in a place that God intended for marriage to be is both of you submitting to God's plan for your life and doing it God's way. It's just, if we're going to live in a world that's operating by different principles, then we have to be a kingdom-minded person who brings kingdom-minded principles into a world that's operating different than our world does. That's not the way we do it. That's not the way we do it. I got example after example after example where I've seen God's people. We're just doing it different. We're just doing it different. We're not doing it. I don't listen to the counsel of the world. I listen to the counsel of the Word. The Word always is going to produce. The counsel of the world is going to have things that look good. And it seemed right as I was listening, as I was looking at it, and as I was hearing them talk. That all seemed right. But what I didn't realize, it didn't line up anything to do with the Word. It just seemed right until it wasn't. It seemed like I should take everything out like he told me. Saul said, I know, I went and took everything, but man, these sheep now, did you see the size on that ram? Hey, y'all go get that one. We'll sacrifice that one. Go. Well, let's get the king and take him and show. Because a conquered king means that you're a real king. I'm a man. Yeah. But God said, no, this is the way I want it done. See, God says it, and we're trying to bargain it out and saying, well, I reason it out. We've been given everything we need to have a blessed life. We just got to do it His way. We just got to do it His way. Thank you for being in church today. You said, I want to know what God's way is. I want to know what God's way is. Hopefully today was an encouragement to you to just say, hey, I got to get in my word. There's Bible studies that you can be a part of. You say, well, I don't have one. Well, then start one. Get you a Bible study. Get you something where I need some accountability. Get that. That's available for you right here in this body. There are things that you are not partaking of that would equip you to do life His way. What are those? What are those? Come on, let's do it. Let's raise up a generation of young people that choose to do it different than the world's doing it. Parents, I don't know. Maybe your kid does need a phone at 12. I don't know, but make sure you've heard from God on that. Not just you heard from your child who said, Mom, Dad, please, everybody get one. You got to get to a place where you're doing it because God said this, God said this, God said this, God said this. Praise God, I prayed over this, and I studied the word, and I looked, and I couldn't find iPhone, but what I'm telling you, I got a peace in my heart knowing this is what I needed right here for this day and time, this hour. Nobody goes out. Let's just go get one. Let's just go get one. You want it. All your friends got one. Now, I could go on 100 different tracks here. iPhone's an easy one because every parent's what age? I don't know. Come to parenting, I'll tell you. I really won't. You're the parent. You're the parent. And if you can't teach your kids to submit to your authority, how are they ever going to submit to God's authority? Come on, we got to get to a place where we're submitted to the Word. And the way God said it, we just submit. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.